You are now listening to the Santos Church Podcast. My name is Rich. I'm the lead pastor here at Santos Church, and I just want to thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to get connected or get involved with what we have going on here in Southwest Detroit, stay tuned to the end of this episode for more information. But for now, let's get to it.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And the church said, amen. You guys did it, and I didn't even have to cue you. I'm excited to get into a week two of our Christmas series called God with Us. And if you were here last week, it was a beautiful setup of what that looks like, God with us. And if you weren't, the podcast on there, but I'll give you a quick little brief of it. We're looking at the incarnation of Jesus Christ and what that means in our lives. The incarnation, remember he used that example when he goes incarne, he's like, you know, meat. Jesus became meaty. Incarnation brought us to last week, we learned that it meant in the flesh. And God loved us so much that he sent his son to be born in flesh here on earth. Pastor Rich, it stuck with me all week. He said this powerful line. He said, that is when the invisible God became visible through us. And today we're going to look at one very specific and crucial way that it does, that it is visible through us, and that's through forgiveness. Sheesh. No, for real. That's why I got Tear Bear up here playing for a little bit. We're going to talk today about how the invisible God is made visible through us through forgiveness. And so as I was prepping yesterday and last night, and I'm like, God, how am I going to start this message? Forgiveness, like Jess just showed us, when we say the word forgiveness, it can strike a chord real quick. And if you're like me, when you hear the word forgiveness, it can almost feel haunting. It can feel heavy. It can feel hard. And maybe you're sitting here right now and I said the word forgiveness and you're taking that word forgiveness and attaching it to one of the hardest and darkest and deepest parts of your life. That's what that word does. You're just attaching that word to that very thing. And so I was reading in Colossians 3:13, reading a verse about forgiveness. And the verse says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And as I was reading this verse over and over and over again, and I was like, God, how do you want me to start this message? How do you want me to start this message? The four words came to mind. Bear with each other. Bear with each other. I wanted to take a moment right here in the beginning of service to bear with one another. What does that mean? It means that we take the burdens of each other and we hold them together. So many times in scripture, we see God doesn't want us to go through it alone, yet we still go through things alone. And so I'm like, God, you want us to bear with each other? You want us to take some time together? Okay, let's do that. So right where you are, if you're comfortable, to either hold the person's hand next to you, put your arm on them, whatever that looks like. You're probably like, wait, we have to hold someone's hand. Welcome to Santos Church. We really do love people here. And if you see someone alone and you want to go be with them, I encourage you to do that. Let's not leave anyone alone in this moment. But as we talk about forgiveness, I want to start with the apology that you may never have received. I want to start with the apology that you may never have been given. So here we go. I want to say, for the apology that you've never received, that I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that they hurt you. I'm so sorry that they abused you. I'm so sorry that they lied about you. I'm sorry they lied about who you are. I'm sorry that your parent wasn't a parent to you. I'm sorry that you were cheated on. I'm sorry that you were lied to. I'm sorry that you were abandoned. I'm so sorry. And I want you to look at me. These moments in your life may have been life-altering. These moments in your life may have been life-altering, but they don't have to be life-ruining. And you deserve to stop suffering from the pain that has been inflicted on you. Can we pray together? Can we bear with one another together? Jesus, Jesus, I come to you with a heart of clay that is consistently being molded and shaped to be more like you. God, I don't ever want to say or feel like there's nothing else that you don't need to do work in my life until you return. I want to be molded and shaped more and more and more like you every day. And God, for the apologies we've never received, God, we receive your grace and your mercy and your goodness, because it follows us every single day. Jesus, you know forgiveness so well. God, the last words that you said on the cross as you were being beaten after you were mocked and they hung you to the cross, your word said, Jesus, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. God, I pray today, walls would be broken down. Chains would fall. Freedom would flow. Just like your forgiveness has freely flowed to us. We love you so much. We thank you for today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Sorry to start us off like that. I just have to be obedient to what the Lord was speaking to me. I come to give you this message and I'll get to it later, and I didn't even write this, but I want to tell you, I have had to wrestle with forgiveness all week this week, and I'm coming to you fully healed, fully transformed by Jesus Christ this week. And so I want you to know that this message isn't coming from someone who's just studying and looking things up. It's coming from a heart that has been molded and shaped by God this week. So as we talk about forgiveness, I want us to first look at what forgiveness is not. Because to understand what it is, we need to know what it is not. Because it's a hard subject. It's a hard word to think about. So what forgiveness is not, we need to know that forgiveness is not saying that what happened to you is okay. All right? It's sometimes hard for us to forgive because we think if we forgive that person, we're saying that what happened is actually okay. But I'm here to tell you that that is not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not saying that what happened to you is okay. It also doesn't mean that you're forgetting or excusing their wrong. You may have heard the expression forgive and forget. Well, it's actually like hard to forget all of the things that have happened to us. So that is not what forgiveness means, and that is not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness isn't saying that if I forgive you, that I can never process these feelings or emotions again. Well, if I say I forgive them, then I can't continue to go to counseling and therapy and work through these feelings that I have. Or I can't keep talking about it with God because I forgive them, so I can't talk about it. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not something that you cannot process and work through every single day. You can keep processing. You can keep healing. And forgiveness does not mean that you won't ever be triggered by the pain. Has anyone ever been triggered by your pain before? It doesn't mean that you will never be triggered by the pain, because if any triggers come in your life, these are actually moments that God is just tapping on our hearts, reminding us that there is still more healing to be done. There's still more healing to be done. So we're going to keep pressing in. We're going to keep being molded and shaped by Jesus. So what is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? We know that forgiveness is the act of letting go of resentment and any claim to compensation for hurt or loss. It's a decision to no longer hold sin against someone who has sinned against you. And we know through Scripture that forgiveness is actually a command. It is not a suggestion. God doesn't just say, you could forgive them if you want to, but I mean, if it's really that bad, you don't have to. No, forgiveness is a command. It's not a suggestion. And God with us, the greatest gift of that is that God brought forgiveness through his son, Jesus, who was born as a baby, but was from his very birth destined to die on a cross for the forgiveness of everyone's sin. That is what forgiveness is. We see in 1 Corinthians 13:5 that love keeps no record of being wronged. But it's really easy to pull out that list of all the times you were wronged. But we know that love does not keep any record of wrong. Jesus, he knew the human heart more than anyone. We don't serve a God, like, you realize that people worship and serve a God that have never come down to earth, God, lowercase g, because they're not real. That have never come down to earth to be human in the flesh, like we learned last week in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, verse 14, and the Word became flesh. God loved us so much that he did not see it fit to not come down to earth to be with the people he loved. That's so powerful. So Jesus, he knew the human heart. And so he actually gives us a prayer that one of the biggest themes of the prayer is forgiveness in this prayer. So if you have your Bibles, it's going to be on the screen, but I love if you go to your Bible with me. Go to the book of Matthew, and we're going to be in chapter 6. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. Because Jesus gives us a prayer, and you might be familiar with it. I actually learned this prayer in my mom's AA meetings growing up. I didn't learn it in Sunday school. I didn't learn it in church. I learned it in my mom's AA meetings. And so I was joking with Richard the other day. Sometimes I forget like that the whole thing we said at my mom's AA meetings are not the whole Lord's Prayer. Because at the end you say, if anyone has been to AA, you might know this, but they say, keep coming back. It works if you work it. Like, keep coming to these meetings. Accountability works, right? Same thing for church. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. Community, keep coming back. It works if you work it. And so sometimes I'll be doing the Lord's Prayer because I've gotten to a place in my faith where every morning, this is the prayer that I've started saying recently. God has brought me to this prayer recently in my life before I even knew I was preaching this message today. And so I was praying it, and sometimes I'll be praying, and I'll go, keep coming back, so it works if you work it. And I go, oh, sorry, God, that's not in there. But I'm not trying to change your word. It's just so ingrained in my mind. So if you're in the book of Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be in verse 9. And this is what it says, our Father in heaven. And this is the NLT version. May your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us of our sins, as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. I think I learned the KJV version at my mom's AA meetings, because it was like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then the rest I think I keep repeating from AA, so I'm not gonna say the rest. So how do we know that this is a prayer we should be saying every day? Because it tells us in scripture, verse 11, give us today the food we need. What's the other version? Give us this day our daily bread. If you don't know what to pray, go to the Lord's Prayer. We should be praying something that follows this format where we give God honor and glory, and then we say, your will be done, not my will be done. Whatever your will is, I submit to your will. And then also forgive us as we forgive others. You can put it in your own words. You can rewrite it how you want. But this should be a daily prayer. And we see that clue right here in scripture when he says, give us this day our daily bread. This is a daily prayer. But in verse 14, it says this, if you keep going, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's hard to hear. It's like, oh, that's hard. What would our life look like if we actually prayed this prayer every single day and we meant it? Because the time to forgive is before you've ever been offended. The time to forgive someone is before they actually offend you. What if before your feet ever touch the ground, you're laying in bed, before you scroll the gram or go on Facebook or the Snappers, Rashonda, I love that app. Before you ever go on it, before you ever thought of anything, before you filled your cup with anything but God, you said, our Father who art in heaven, and forgive me and let me forgive others, because the best time to forgive someone is before they offend you. So we are already postured in our heart with forgiveness. It's actually very hard to harbor ill will towards those who we actively love and pray for. It's hard to not be kind and loving to people we actually just prayed for. So what if when we wake up in the morning, we posture our heart with forgiveness, because God with us means that forgiveness is freely there. freely there to clothe. Paul says to clothe ourselves with Christ. I think it's in Romans. To clothe ourselves in Christ. Chris, is it in Romans? Let's hope so. Somebody Google it. What if we clothed ourselves with forgiveness? The best time to forgive is before you've ever been offended. And the next best time to forgive is right now. Ahora. That was for Rolando. Because we reveal the true condition of our hearts by the way we treat others. The way we treat others actually reveals the true condition of our hearts. So when your coworker is co-working with the drama and the llamas, I don't know what rhymed. And when your family member is family membering, you know, you already thought of people. How different our love would look if when a crazy wild driver cut us off in traffic and we didn't yell the four-letter F word. We yelled the, how many letters is it? I poked notes. We yelled the seven-letter one. And if you're counting because you can't figure out what word it is, it's forgive. Jess is like, F? Can I buy a vowel? But can I run it back a little bit? Out of the abundance of the hearts, the mouth speaks. So when someone is making us angry or mad, what we put in our heart is what will come out. How different would our world be if we weren't screaming obscenities and calling them names, but we were saying, I forgive you, I love you. I did that one time. It was my fault actually. I almost hit someone. This was when I lived in Orlando. Orlando drivers are wild. And I was driving and I almost hit a car because I'm actually not the best driver, sorry, but I'm usually the passenger princess. So I was driving and I almost hit this lady and I was like, oopsie. And I was just like driving and the lady pulled up next to me and she was just like doing all the things. And I was like, I just rolled down my window and I was like, I am so sorry. Like she could have got me turned up. But thankfully, my posture was like in humility and grace at that moment. It was my fault, but still, right? Like someone can come at us and they change our temperature and our attitude when we should be the ones that are postured in Christ. So if we just say, I forgive you. You almost killed me, but I forgive you and I love you and I already prayed for you. I already prayed for you. Oh, you cut me off in this line. It's okay because I already prayed for you and I love you. How different would our world be? How different would your life look? If you would forgive before you are ever offended. I forgive you. I love you. Gucci, I'm good. I had to say it because I put Gucci in my notes. Did you say why? There's something, though, that I want to point out about not only this prayer, but a theme that we see all through Scripture. And when I say all through Scripture, I mean all through Scripture. There's so many stories. It was actually harder for me to try to condense what I wanted to say because there is so much about forgiveness throughout Scripture that I could say story after story after story that we see God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness poured out and lavished on all of his people. But there's a theme that we see all through Scripture, and it's this. Wherever there is unattended anger, bitterness, resentment, desire for revenge for somebody, right near that verse, immediately you are instructed to forgive. Immediately. But wait, there's more. Because if not, the evil one will come close. Because if you do not forgive, the evil one will come close. So we can't give the devil a chance. Even says that in the Lord's Prayer. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. It's like this picture. This is what I thought of when I read this verse. Can you put that picture? When you're not forgiving, it's like blood in shark-infested waters. And this is what I thought of. Brucey. Nemo and Dory are playing and la-la-la because they're in the fun fish club and everybody loves everybody. And then like Marlin hits Dory and blood everywhere, right? And the goggles, I can't remember. And then the blood starts coming out and it goes straight to Brucey. And Brucey went from nice sharky to the predator that he really was. When you, fish are friends, not food, not anymore. When you have unforgiveness, it's like putting your blood in shark-infested waters. And if we don't forgive, the evil one does come close. I know this doesn't sound very bright, positive for a Christmas message, but I am positive that the evil one will come close. If you keep unforgiveness and bitterness and anger in your heart, Ephesians 4:25, turn with me there if you can. Ephesians 4:25 through 27 is where we're going to be. Ephesians 4:25 through 27 says this. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Listen, I didn't realize that if you put your foot in something, that's good. I learned that from Angela. The first time she made rice and beans, she said, I put my foot in that. And I said, we can't give this to the people. We cannot. Like, I don't know how she's cooking it, but we can't give people rice and beans if she put her foot in it. And I think Richard was like, no, that's a good thing. This is not a good thing when we're talking about the enemy. That he would take a foothold in your life. Well, what is a foothold? It's to establish a strong position or influence that can lead to further progress. Don't give the enemy a chance. Don't give the devil a chance. Don't let him have a foothold in your life. But when we practice unforgiveness, we are giving the enemy a foothold in our life. Ephesians 4:29 through 32 says this. We're in the same chapter. You don't even have to flip. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Some of y'all need to read that again. I'll read it again for you. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Forgiveness brings healing. Forgiveness brings healing to our hearts, to our minds. Because one of the greatest gifts God has given us is when Jesus came to earth, is the gift of forgiveness. Because forgiveness is God's provision for healing. You guys may know or you may not know, and that's okay if you don't know, but this past Friday was the 5-year death anniversary of my father. He actually passed away on my birthday, and so it's just like a tough, like, dang, it's my birthday, Dad. Not the best day. But that's when he passed, 5 years ago. And it's been a journey. It's been such a journey. Let me see where I was at. So every time my birthday comes around, I feel a very heavy weight, a pain and a heaviness like never before. It's really, really hard. And you actually might be thinking that that pain and heaviness just comes from grief, from his death. But it was actually rooted in unforgiveness towards my father. I was a daddy's girl. I've cried all week, so I really hope I don't cry today. But I was a daddy's girl through and through. Like, I was just a daddy's girl. And my mom, she worked later hours than my dad did, so it prevented my mom from being home during those hours when you're out of school and when you're doing things, and he would always, like, show up to stuff, and I was always with my dad, and when I would get off the bus every day from school, he would be waiting for me at the front of the apartment complex that we lived at, because, like, we lived deep into the apartment complex, and so it was like a walk, so they would never let me walk alone. So every day he was there until he wasn't there. One day I got off the bus and my dad wasn't at the bus stop. I was in like second or third grade. I can't really remember right now. And I was like, my dad's not here. I don't know where to go. But I knew where to go. I waited for a little bit. He worked like across the street. So I kind of was like trying to see if I saw him. I was like, maybe, I don't know what's going on. And I didn't have a cell phone or anything. So I was just like, I'm just going to walk home. And I walked home and went to my apartment, and like my neighbor realized I was there and just said, hey, your mom called me, you have to come with me. And I was just like, okay. A life-altering moment in my life. I won't get into this part of my story, but it rooted like abandonment issues in my life and a lot of other things that I won't get into today. But I got off the bus and my dad wasn't there because my dad had been arrested. And I'll use certain verbiage because there are little ears in the room. But my dad was arrested for inappropriate child abuse. To be clear, this was not done to me or my brother, Roberto. And I don't even know when I knew all the details of it. Because I was very young, so I know my mom wanted to protect my heart and our family. And I've actually never said this story to anyone like this. I have over the years shared it with people because it brought so much shame and pain into my life. Because the words I was using was very kind in the way I said it. But I think you can probably think of 10 million other words that have been used for it. And whenever I heard those words, people would talk about such evil people. But all I could see was my father. All I could see was my dad holding me in the rocking chair. I would sit in sermons and hear pastors say how those specific people should be slaughtered and killed and go to hell. And I had to sit there thinking of my father. It was so hard. It's hard to say those words. And I don't justify anything he's done or did. It's hard to hear this, but it was also very hard to live it my whole life. Before we came to Santos, I've dedicated my life to be a children's pastor, to love and serve children. I still serve in children's ministry today. I'm a mother of three children. I know the weight. Thank you. It's not even Mother's Day. I know the weight of what this was. But when my father died, it actually was the start of my healing. And I regret saying that. And I've lived with shame and guilt for years about that. Because when my father passed, my first thought wasn't sadness or grief, it was regret. And my first question was, did my dad know that I loved him? Did my dad know that I cared for him? So So my father lived in Philadelphia. I lived in Delaware a majority of my life before my dad went to jail. That's why my family moved to Florida. But he lived in Philly. And so when I got the call that my father passed, we drove to Philadelphia to, because he was at the hospital. You can really die any way possible. He died on his lunch break drinking milk and choked. You can really die any way. Life is a gift. Don't take it for granted. If you ain't living right, get right. Like, you are not promised tomorrow. And so we drove to Philly to the hospital. They kept him on a machine because they wanted family to get there. And I remember just going into the hospital room with Richard and holding my father's hand. And I looked at the doctor and I said, he's not here. He said, well, I can't say that until he's off the machine. I just said, it's okay. I know he's not here. And I just cried. And Richard just held me. And I just had, you know, overwhelming shame and guilt and grief. Because the reality was, is I harbored unforgiveness in my heart for so long. And I gave foothold to the enemy. And the Lord has revealed this to me this week. Moments in my life when unforgiveness showed its ugly face. How I actually, this week, why I say I have complete healing is because I could never accept the love from people. Even though I know God was forgiving and loving, and even though I loved people, people would give me compliments or say they loved me or said nice things about me, and I would smile or I would whatever, but I couldn't accept their love because the unforgiveness was in my heart. The shame and guilt was so heavy that I couldn't even love myself. So this birthday was the first year that people said they loved me and cared for me and all these things, and I felt it, and I felt joy, and I felt lightness, and I felt God's transformative power of forgiveness. When we went to Philly, we sat around tables with people of members of his church. That's probably hard for you to hear too. Just because you make a mistake, no matter what it is, doesn't mean that God's love isn't for you. And so that week, members from his church came around us and told us all kinds of stories. My dad was the tambourine guy. He also, Jess and Eva, so you know, they said he was the loudest singer in the room. Sorry. But they began to tell me stories, and these people from his church knew the very dark parts of my father's story. He didn't come into the church and didn't say anything. They said the very first time he came, he asked to sit with the pastor so he could let them know his past. So I was talking to people that I didn't even have to hide the fact of what my father was that I've hidden for so long because I didn't want people to look at me that way or say things that would be hurtful about the father that I loved. So we sat around church members who knew the parts of his story. They knew the sin that entangled him, and they knew that the Lord had healed and transformed his heart. Can you put the picture on the screen? You probably can't read it. Or maybe you can. But I'm going to read it to you. This was actually the card that was given to me as we were leaving Philadelphia by his church members. It said his name was Richard, too. And I'm married to Richard. It says, Richard wanted his life to count for Christ. His heart's desire was to live a life that makes an internal difference in the lives of the people around him. He wanted the Holy Spirit that lived on the inside to be what the world saw on the outside. And these next three words broke me down. Because it said, and we did. That's the power of the gospel.
That's the transformative power of the gospel. Because it may be very hard for you to hear that what I said my father did and what he was labeled his whole life is not his label in heaven. He is a son of God, his beloved child, forgiven and loved. And not only did he live that, people saw it. He didn't stay hidden in his sin. He decided to draw close to others, draw close to his church, and they saw in him the Holy Spirit. I was so deep in unforgiveness when we were in Philadelphia that I actually couldn't go to his church service memorial that night. I left. I told Richard I couldn't stay. And I blamed it on just a sad, grieving heart. But now I know it was because I had so much unforgiveness. His therapist called me on the way home. I saw that it was a Philly number, so I answered. I'd been spending all morning talking on the phone to doctor's appointments and the banks and all these things like, hey, can you close? You know, all the, it's, if you've gone through a death, you know what that looks like. But his therapist called me. And he said, hi, is this Richard's daughter? And I said, yes. He said, my secretary just called and said that you called and that your father passed. And I immediately knew I needed to call you. And I said, yes, he did. And you can cancel his appointment. And he said, well, I'm calling you because I want to tell you that your father told me things that he said he's never been able to tell anyone else. He's been in therapy with me for years and years and years, seeking healing from the dark, I know some of it, but from his dark childhood and the past and the pain that he had. And he said these words to me. He said, your father was a good man. That's when the start of my healing began. It felt like I was experiencing heaven on earth when people actually saw my father who was in jail for so long, and they didn't see him as a prisoner, but they saw him as a good man, as a man who loved Jesus and was transformed by him. Unforgiveness was still rooted in my heart, but it was now in the form of guilt and shame towards myself, not knowing if my father ever knew I loved him. And I had trouble my whole life accepting compliments and love because it was so rooted in my soul that I was ashamed of the ugliness in my heart. The forgiveness that I needed to encounter wasn't actually just for my father, because my father was already forgiven by God. It was for me. Forgiveness is not so much about the person. It is about our hearts. It is about our posture. It is about our healing too. I will never stand here and justify what my father did. Like I said earlier, I'm so sorry for the ones in this room that hold that pain and weight. You've heard Pastor Rich share many times that actually was his story as well. My father had many consequences here on earth for himself and my family. And he went through them all. But I will say we serve a God that is like no other. We serve a God that takes ugly and makes it beautiful, that takes dark and makes it life, that brings complete and full transformation. Romans 8, 38 through 39. If you want to go there. Romans 8, 38 through 39 says this. This is forgiveness. And I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we say nothing will separate us from the love of Jesus, that literally means nothing. And there was nothing that could separate God's love from my Father, no matter what was put on him. And for you in this room who may even be dealing with guilt and shame for something that you have done, there is no condemnation in Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love and Father. His love is deep, his love is wide, and it never stops, and it never stops coming. He is for you and he is with you, and there is nothing that will change that. That is God with us. God with us is God's forgiveness came to earth to come to us so that we could be vessels of forgiveness to flow to everyone around us. That's the incarnation. God with us. That is when an invisible God becomes visible to the world, when we offer forgiveness. When we offer forgiveness, come on up, Adrian. Today you might, oh, not you, Richard. No, you can come to this side. Sit down, be humble. I already got a helper. And then Tara, if you want to come too. Today you might be waiting. You might be wrestling with forgiveness yourself. Maybe you have unforgiveness and anger and bitterness and rage to something or someone. Maybe it's God. Maybe you're just mad at God because, you know, when we say the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, we actually got mad that his will was done. And we just have to come to terms with that in our heart and know that he still knows best, even if it doesn't look like what we thought it would. So today, you actually might be waiting for the feeling of forgiveness. I probably called you up too early, but just look pretty. You already are pretty. You might be waiting for the feeling of forgiveness. Can I tell you with complete confidence, I can wake up and say that there's no one that I have not forgiven in my heart, but I couldn't say that before this week. I was telling a friend on my actual birthday that has felt for years like darkness. You know why? Because I gave a foothold to the enemy. And it was like the nail that I kept in there around the birthday would remind me of the death, and it would remind me of the forgiveness. It would stir up the waters, and I would deal with depression, and I would feel so heavy. This year, I felt so light. My heart was full of joy. It wasn't a sad day anymore. Didn't feel like a sad day because I let God's forgiveness just fully clothe me. That feeling is indescribable, and maybe you are waiting for the feeling of forgiveness. I can promise you, I don't know when that feeling will come to you, but I can tell you this, because for me, it took 5 years. I say 5 years, but probably closer to like 20-something when you really look at the whole story. But what we can do, scoot up a little bit. Don't you guys just love Adrian? Just got baptized a few weeks. She's in Chi Alpha at Wayne State. If you don't know her, you should get to know her. We drove together last week, and she has an incredible story, and God is doing so much in her life, and I'm here for it. That wasn't in my notes. I just love her. But Adrian, I want you to, sorry to do this to you, but don't picture her as Adrian for a second. Picture it for whoever that person, people, pain is. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a friend that has hurt you so badly. Maybe it's a significant other. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's an ex-husband. Maybe it's a sister or a brother. Or maybe it's someone you didn't even know. Maybe it's a mother. Maybe it's a father. Maybe it's a pastor. Whoever that is, I want you to picture that right here. Sorry that I'm doing this to you, but thank you. Because forgiveness, we can forgive freely. We can forgive for the fact of what happened. There is impact and things that happen through life that we have to process and heal from, but we can forgive for that very impact that has happened to us. And whatever our feelings won't allow, I want you to see the blood of Jesus on it. I actually wasn't even going to use this. I was going to use a red scarf. And Roberto's like, I only have a red choir robe. And I said, the Lord provided. Because it's still there. The pain didn't, the instance and the fact didn't go away. But whatever your feelings will not allow for, the blood of Jesus will cover. Whatever your feelings won't get you, the blood of Jesus will cover. So when you look at the pain and you look at the hurt, you're not seeing what it was, but you are seeing the blood of Jesus, who has wiped away the sin of the world and brings healing to the broken, who brings transformation to the lost, who is good and faithful and will never leave you and never forsake you. When you look at that situation, see the blood of Jesus. Because not only does Jesus love that very person that you have unforgiveness to and can still do a work in their life, but that blood of Jesus will start transforming your very heart and bring healing like never before. What your feelings won't allow for, forgive them for the fact, and what your feelings won't allow for, let the blood of Jesus cover it. You can keep the robe. Be blessed. Don't tell Berto. Today you might be waiting for the feeling of forgiveness, but I can't promise when that feeling will come. But you can offer forgiveness for the fact of what happened. And whatever your feelings won't allow for, the blood of Jesus will. You in this room are forgiven for whatever shame and guilt you are holding to. I couldn't accept the love from others because I couldn't forgive myself for being so ugly to my father, even though I knew God forgave him. It's easier to say now than it was. Maybe you're in this room dealing with unforgiveness with yourself for how you've acted, for what you did, for the dark things that nobody even knows about. Or maybe it's for someone else, whoever caused that pain to you. They are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. The wonder of the incarnation is that in Christ, the invisible God was made visible to the world. And the wonder of his incarnation is that now through the Holy Spirit, forgiveness is incarnate through Christ's people, the church. It's how the invisible God is made visible to the world. People who don't know Jesus struggle because they can't see him. Do you know them? Then they can see him. Do you walk with them? Then they can walk with him. Do you talk with them? Then God can talk to them. We are just vessels for the Holy Spirit to move through. As God freely offers us forgiveness, we can freely let it flow to everyone around us. That is the miracle of God with us. That is the miracle of Christmas. That we don't have to live in hurt, but we can be fully healed and transformed by the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus. Don't settle. You don't have to suffer anymore. You do not have to suffer anymore. I wanted to do something to end service, and our elders are gonna come up to the front, and I'm gonna come here because I want to pray with you too, if that's what you want. But in James 5, I am anything that this word says, I'm all about it. I want to do it all. That's how it makes me feel. Because it's so good and it's so transformative, and we need to stop living like we're in chains and bondage and start living free and filled of joy and hope so people can experience it too. But in James chapter 5, it says this in verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. He wasn't talking specifically about like a body healing. He's talking about our spirit and our heart healing. That we would be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I kept all of the, there's so much more to my story, and I just gave you the spark notes because it's too much. But when I started experiencing healing after my father passed, I was finally felt a little bit more freedom to talk about it because it didn't matter what people said about him because he was dead already. That was my mindset. So I felt freedom to just talk about it a little bit more. And over the past few years, I've talked to people, and through talking to people and confessing what my life was and what I've been through, that's what brought healing. I will tell you this, scripture says it in James 5, confess with one another. And I believe there's people in this room that are holding unforgiveness and hurt and pain, and you're suffering. You're literally suffering every single day because of it. So in this moment, just a few moments, can we do what James 5 says? Can we confess to one another and pray with each other? Forgiveness, you may not feel the feeling of forgiveness right away. That's okay. There's processing. Seek counseling. Talk to people that can pour and speak life into you. But it starts with saying, I will forgive for the fact of what happened. And everything else, the blood of Jesus covers.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Santos Church podcast. If you'd like more information, you can check us out online at santoschurch.org or connect with us on social media. On Instagram, it's at Santos Detroit, and Facebook is facebook.com/Santos Church Detroit. We'll catch you next time.